let's spend some time understanding what each word of this bhajan conveys. So we begin with the first line. Sharade jaya sharade, vag vilasini sharade. Ma Sharada is another very beautiful name of the Divine Mother. Generally it refers to Mother Saraswati. Vag refers to generally the faculty of speech. If you are able to speak, it is because of the power granted by Mother Saraswati. Vag Vilasini is that Divine Mother who blesses us with the gift of words, who blesses us with the gift of sound. There's a very beautiful experience that Dr. Mohan, a highly reputed diabetologist in India and an ardent Sai devotee, narrated about how the Divine Mother Sai blessed with this faculty of speech to a little child. Let's listen to him.
So I had a patient couple who came to me, and they were very, very sad. And I could see that they were very upset. So I asked them, what's troubling you? So they said, with great difficulty, we got a grandchild. And now that child is growing up, but the child is not walking. You know, it's long, the stage has crossed when he should have walked long ago, but he is not walking. So I said, I would like to give you some vibhuti. Okay, and you have to pray to Swami, and they were not devotees of Swami. So I said, you have to pray, give them picture of Swami, and I said, you pray to Swami, you take this vibhuti. They said, next week we are going to Melbourne. They're actually in their daughter was in Melbourne. So they said, we will we'll take this vibhuti to Melbourne. They arrived in Melbourne, gave this, of course they started praying to Swami even before that. And this all happened within a week to 10 days after they met me. So they went there, and then they gave the picture to their daughter and son-in-law, and kept the picture on the child's head, and then gave vibhuti to the child. And you won't believe this, within the next day or two, the child started walking.
Oh, wow.
Okay? So they came back, and then they said, now the child is walking. So I said, are you happy now? They said, yes, partly happy. I said, why partly happy? The child is not talking.
Oh.
The child is walking, but not talking. And then they said their daughter was coming to Chennai. So this is after about 2-3 months. And the daughter was now coming to Chennai. So I said, okay, let's repeat this now. Again I'll give you vibhuti. Again I'll give you Swami's pictures. Again you pray to Swami. And let us see what happens. And then the same thing repeated. The child came. Again they prayed, and then they gave vibhuti to this child, and they said, now they can't stop the child talking. He's always talking now. You know, this, I mean, you may say, always in my book also I brought this up, because a skeptic can always say, why is Dr. Mohan talking like this, you know? This
and is Dr. all. Dr. Mohan is a scientist.
Yeah, he's a scientist, and he's talking like this, you know. I mean, we would have thought he will not say like this. It's the timing. It's the timing. You know, you can be a skeptic, you can be anything. Here the child is not walking. You give vibhuti and the next day the child starts walking. Okay? Here the child is not talking. You give the vibhuti and next day the child starts talking. The first few words and the child is then talking. Now, I say that these are not coincidences. These are Sai incidences. To Sai devotees, that is how we all become devotees. No, first time we also don't accept, no, this is just coincidence. Then again it happened, then again it happened, then again it happened. After third, fourth, fifth time, we say, no more. This is not any coincidence. This is Swami's grace. It is His blessing. It is His miracle. And it's a Sai incidence.
So that is the Divine Mother conferring the boon of speech to a desperate soul. Vag Vilasini Sharade, the Divine Mother, confers on us the faculty to speak, to sing, to communicate. That is what we refer to in this first line. Victory to that Mother, Sharade Jaya Sharade, who fills us with this blessing of expressing ourselves through the medium of words and music. Let's move on to the next line. Now, Vidya generally is thought of as education, but In the sacred treatise Vidyavahini, Bhagwan explains about Vidya by saying, knowledge of the supreme principle that knows no beginning, that was there before everything and has no end, that which expands as far as it wills, progresses as diverse as it feels, and through its fullness fills the universe. That knowledge is Vidya. That is knowledge. That is wisdom. That is awareness. Vid is the root from which the term Vidya is derived by adding Ya. Ya means what? Vid means light. So that which gives light is Vidya. This is the basic meaning of the word. Vidya is the process of acquiring knowledge. In fact, Swami says there are two types of Vidya. Bahya Vidya or worldly knowledge and Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the self. And the latter is supreme. Bahya Vidya provides the wherewithal for human livelihood. One can study many subjects, earn valuable degrees, acquire higher jobs and manage to spend his life with all the comforts and no fears of worldly existence in terms of material needs. This type of Vidya helps man, whatever the job he is raised to, whether he does the job of a peon or a prime minister. But Brahma Vidya endows all human beings with the strength which enables them to discharge successfully the duty they owe to themselves. It lays down the path which leads both to joy in worldly relations and bliss in the life beyond. Therefore, Brahma Vidya is far superior to all the Vidyas available on earth to man. Brahma Vidya has the divine potency to liberate everyone from bondage. There is the experience of Brother Venkatesh Prasad, an alumnus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. He joined the university in 1987 and he graduated from the portals of this college in 1992 after completing his bachelor's in commerce and master's in business administration. As part of the curriculum, every management student has to submit a project report. The students usually spend 2 to 3 months on this. Brother Venkatesh Prasad too was preparing this project report, which was about an act passed by the Indian government called the MRTP Act. His research was based on the impact that this act had on the performance of many Indian companies. Soon the day came when he had to submit his report and present himself for a Viva Voce before a learned panel. Normally, Vivas were conducted during the holidays and would go on for a few days. During that year's Viva Voce session, not many students had performed well. In fact, the entire batch that he belonged to had not made it up to the mark. Since Brother Venkatesh's name starts with the letter V, he was the last in his class to appear for the Viva Voce session. His morale was not all that good, especially after seeing the glum faces of his friends. The additional knowledge that the interview panel consisted of very distinguished people added to his discomfiture. So his day arrived. He was scheduled to go to the college by 9:30 a.m. Having got up early, he went for a brisk jog on the ground, returned to the hostel in a positive mood, picked up the morning newspaper around 6:30 a.m. and as he casually glanced through the headlines, he saw something that made his heart skip a beat. The very act that he had researched so hard and long and had made as the subject of his project report had been scrapped by the Commerce Ministry of the Government of India. The then Commerce Ministry of India stated that it was detrimental to the country's progress. For a minute, Brother Venkatesh did not know what to do. But immediately he thought, Swami, only you can help me now. He had a hurried shower and quickly changed into whites and rushed to the mandir. Bhagwan used to come out for darshan at about 6:15 in the morning in those days. However, on that particular day, Bhagwan had not yet come out for darshan and it was almost 7:15 a.m. So Brother Venkatesh ran all the way to the mandir and sat in the portico, which was almost empty because the students were not there. It was vacation time. Swami came out for darshan and saw him and asked, what happened? Why are you here? And Brother Venkatesh got up and said, Swami, today I have my Viva. Bhagwan did not allow him to complete, but Swami simply said, I will give you Viva. Viva is a popular energy drink available in the market those days. Swami said, I will give you Viva. You go and do Viva. Take Pad Namaskar, Swami said. But there was fear in Brother Venkatesh's mind. It was very strong. And he tried to tell Swami, but Swami just cut him. And Swami said, doesn't matter, you just take Pada Namaskar. So Brother Venkatesh fell at Bhagwan's feet. And Swami said, go now. Go for the exam. So he just walked from the mandir towards the college. Needless to say, while walking back to the college, Venkatesh was thinking about the issue in hand, about the news, about his project report, and how he's going to answer the questions today. And then suddenly it struck him, why don't I look at the turn of events from a different angle? If the Indian government has really scrapped the act, then my stand and the Indian government's stand are in agreement actually. Because what I have presented in a project report also is in line with this. Why should I feel bad about it? And now he started feeling probably the news of the act being crashed could not have come on a better day for me than today. So now he is filled with new ideas. He ran to the hostel, picked up a copy of his report and other necessary documents and headed straight to the venue of the Viva session well ahead of time. And when the panel arrived and settled themselves, he straight away gave them the conclusion sheet. Some of the members of the panel probably thought that he was acting smart by offering the conclusion sheet first. But he told them, point by point, how the act was affecting everybody. And as a trump card, he showed the newspaper of the day and said, see, the act has been scrapped. So for a minute, even all the panelists did not believe what was happening. And then the news sank in and they all burst out laughing and said, okay, now since the act is scrapped, there is no point dwelling on your project report. However, as we cannot let you go without asking you anything about your project report, we will question you to check your understanding of various concepts. And so the seven learned members asked him questions on various topics, and by Bhagwan's grace, he answered all of them to their satisfaction. And when he returned to the hostel, he found his classmates waiting for him. Naturally, they thought that he would have been grilled thoroughly because the boys had gone through a very difficult time, and especially because of the news on the newspaper. But Venkatesh was happy about his performance. In fact, he said, I'm going to get an O grade. He enjoyed the day thoroughly. During the evening darshan time, he sat in the first row and he was in full spirits. When Bhagwan came out, he looked at him sternly and said, Kya re namam de diya, which means, you tricked me. Swami enacted the way the Nama mark is applied on one's head. In South India, especially in the states of Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu, when you say Namam, it jocularly means that you have outwitted someone. So when Bhagwan made this statement and walked away, Venkatesh was devastated because Swami is telling, what, you put Namam on me. So he felt that Bhagwan had given him the blessing to do well in the morning, but during the entire course of the interview and even later on, even though he was very happy that everything turned out to be good, after he took that blessing from Bhagwan, he got new ideas and the whole scene changed. Even though most of the boys had not done well in the interview, he came out smiling of that examination, but in the whole process, he had forgotten Bhagwan. He had forgotten to even think and thank the Lord. Bhagwan had given him the wisdom, that vidya, to perform. But when he returned to the hostel, he bragged to his classmates about his prowess and how he was smart to deal with the situation. He took the entire credit for it. He did not attribute it to Swami's grace. And Swami says, Vidya Dadati Vinayam. Vidya should grant you humility. That knowledge that Bhagwan gave him should have granted him humility, and that he forgot that day. And that is when he realized how you should not forget the divine at any point in time. Here Swami is clearly telling him, Namam Dedya. So the mark of wisdom is humility. And here we pray to the Divine Mother to fill us with humility even as we acquire Bahya Vidya, the knowledge of the outside world for our livelihood, and aspire for Brahma Vidya, the knowledge that will take us beyond worldly existence. We come to the third line now. Here, we adore the Divine Mother as Veda Mata. There's a very beautiful story documented by Professor Kasturi in Satyam Shivam Sundaram, Volume 2. Veda Mata means the mother of the Vedas, the mother of all knowledge. Vedas are all the ancient scriptures which contain in them the sacred spiritual heritage of India. So there was this Pandit from East Godavari district who was so desperate financially that in his despair, he denied Baba's grace. He denied his wife permission to write to Bhagwan asking for succor. He was going through a lot of financial problems. His wife told, write a letter to Swami, but he said, no, I will not do it. 2 days later, he was amazed to receive a letter from Bhagwan himself. Swami was in Prashantinilam then, and this man was in East Godavari, 800 miles away. And in that letter, Swami is writing to him, saying, what did you tell her? You have no permission? Do I not know? Can I know only when she writes or anyone writes? Do I not know, for example, that you went to Ramchandrapuram expecting to collect some little money through discourses on the Gita and that you returned home having incurred loss? Do I not know that you then started condemning yourself that all your learning was a waste, that all your experience was of no value? For me, who is providing for all these people of all the worlds, it is no burden to provide for you and your family. I am placing all these hardships on you only to teach you a few lessons, Swami says. And Swami goes on, enumerating the lessons. When life flows merrily on, people claim that it is due to their own effort and they forget the Lord. When failure resists the flow, they start cursing and losing faith. When you grow desperate, you are insulting the Atma Tattva, the Atmic principle which you really are, that knows no pain or joy. You have become erudite in many subjects, but you do not try to derive the fruits thereof by putting them into practice. If only you have the faith that nothing can hinder the Atmananda, which is the life spring in every heart, how happy you can be. Just imagine how calm and collected you could be then. In your lectures, you dilate on the Atma and the Ananda one can derive who drills deep down into the Atma. It is easy to advise others. When it comes to practicing what you recommend, you feel it as an awful bother, carrying all the Vedas, Shastras, Puranas, Itihasas and Upanishads stuffed in your brain. All this wailing and anger do not become you. Instead of resorting to the most effective remedy for all anxiety, namely the name of the Lord, why do you waste time recapitulating and lamenting over pain, fear, loss and grief? Engage yourself in that which is enjoined as your duty, the duty which your status demands. Do it courageously and gladly. Strive to gain the 4 Purusharthas. Then you can certainly experience the highest truth. Practice and earn the highest bliss. Do not decry the rich. No, not the rich only. Do not decry anyone in any manner. For remember, Sai is in every person. So when you decry another, you are decrying Sai himself. And after this paternal but firm admonition, Bhagwan closed the letter with the revealing words, Ni Hridaya Nivasi Sai, the Sai who resides in your heart. So this is the vigilant manner in which Swami was tracking the inner consciousness of this Pandit 800 miles away, because he is the Veda Mata. He is here to protect Sanatana Dharma. He is here to bring back the glory of the spirituality and Indian culture that united mankind into one. And Vedas are the basis for Dharma. If you want the return of righteousness to the world, the Vedas have the knowledge of how it can be done. The Vedas are for uniting mankind, and the people who do this, who study and disseminate this, are the Pandits. So as Veda Mata, Bhagwan guiding the people who are responsible for studying and disseminating the Vedas, as Veda Mata, he protects them. So that is what we refer to in this line, Veda Mata Sharde. We refer to the Divine Mother as the protector of the Vedas, as if one who fosters the Vedas and looks after those who are into the study of the Vedas. So that is some explanation of all the phrases of this bhajan. There is so much more that we can always elaborate and introspect on. And this is something that we all have to do individually. As we sing this bhajan, let's relate to the Divine Mother as the one who fills us with wisdom, as the one who fills us with this faculty of speech. as the one who takes care of our heritage, our spirituality, our knowledge.